The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Thursday. We are moving and we are grooving, and we have a great show planned for you today, including David Harsanyi, who has an excellent article out at The Federalist about the electric vehicle craze. And really, he's hitting on this idea of, if electric vehicles are so great, why is the government forcing them down our throats? And there's new polls out, there's new studies showing that Americans aren't ready for this. He also works in the phrasing of that, how a lot of times these articles will say, like, Joe Biden's getting ready for this transformation of the auto industry, but are Americans ready for it? And he points out that the insinuation there is that us credulous boomer rubes just can't get on board with the better technology. And so really what he goes into is it better technology? Like, are we the country bumpkins who can't get on board with this better idea? Or is the idea just not that good? And that's what we're going to discuss with David Harsanyi. We also have Woke or Joke today, which is going to be really fun. But you know what I'm starting with right now. You have to know, if you listen to this show, what is going to take the top spot. He might be Irish, he might be Greek, he might be Polish, he might be English, he might even be a rugby player, which was news to me. But one thing is for certain, Joe Biden is confused. The president of the United States is in Ireland. He's with the smartest man he knows, his son, Hunter Biden. And he's
Biden's
with
losing it.
His sister, Valerie Biden Owens. Now, I got to take something back that I said yesterday. Yesterday, I read a comment from the White House that Hunter and Val, that's what I like to call her because we're on, you know, we're on that first name basis. Hunter and Val will be paying for their personal expenses. It was some ridiculous, like, CYA. Oh, of course, any personal expenses incurred on the trip will be paid for by Hunter and Val. And I mentioned that Hunter should probably pick up a tab or two while he's in the motherland. Like, it wouldn't hurt. The guy's making $500K for paintings of squiggly lines and blots of ink. You think he could pick up maybe a round Guinness for his aunt and whoever else is, you know, taking the trip with them. Maybe treat Auntie Val to dinner. You know, some fish and chips. This is everything I said yesterday, and I am here on the record because one thing about Grace Curley, I'm not afraid to admit when I was wrong. I take it back. I take it all back. Hunter should be getting this trip on the arm. This is one circumstance where Hunter should be compensated, if anything, for going on this trip, because this dude is on double duty. He's on triple duty. He's on umbrella duty. He's on tell Joe where to stand and who to talk to duty. He's on remind Joe if Jesse Helms was the senator from North Carolina or South Carolina or North Carolina duty. He is singing for his Irish supper on this trip. And there are a few moments that I would like to highlight, and feel free to weigh in. Because there's a couple of standouts here. And whenever Joe has a trip like this, whenever he makes a splash somewhere, I like to pretend I'm Clint Eastwood and play Misty for me. And I'm just the disc jockey here. And you guys want to call up, you want to request something, and we will play it for you. But I have to start with when Joe was talking about rugby player Rob Kearney. And he said, and we should just play the full cut Let's play Cut 11, please. This is Joe Biden. Cut 11.
You see this tie I have with a shamrock on it? This was given to me by one of these guys right here. It was a hell of a rugby player. And they beat the hell out of the black and tans. Oh, God. But it was when you were at a Soldier Field, wasn't it?
The game? Chicago.
Chicago. And after it was all over, he gave my brother, allegedly for me, but if it wasn't, I still took it. I still got the tie. I wore it with great pride. And so thank you all for the homecoming welcome.
All right. Now, he said the black and tans. So this rugby team beat the black and tans. Problem is, slight problem, just a slight problem. He mixed up New Zealand's famous team, the All Blacks, with the British paramilitary force, the Black and Tans. Now, the Black and Tans were the British police recruits assigned to fight the Irish Republican Army in the 1920s. Now, I am not an expert on either rugby or the history of the Irish War of Independence. I do not claim to be an expert on either of those things. But that is exactly why I would not start shooting from the hip about it. This cocktail of old age, cognitive decline, and sheer arrogance, and liking the sound of his own voice, is leading to a number of slip-ups, gaffes, whoopsie-daisies, whatever you want to call them. And you know what I love about this? The White House comes out to clarify. And this is from USA Today. So this is Amanda Sloat, the National Security Council Senior Director for Europe. And this is what she said about Biden's little slip of the tongue. I think for everyone, now I'm just going to put a voice on this, because when I think Biden administration, I think the people running cover, I tend to think vocal fry. So this is just my creative license here. I think everyone in Ireland who is a rugby fan, it was incredibly clear that the president was talking about the All Blacks and Ireland's defeat of the New Zealand team in 2016. It was clear what the president was referring to. It was certainly clear to his cousin sitting next to him who had played in that match. Now, I have a question for Amanda, who I'm sure went to some Ivy League school. She's one of the best and brightest. So this is just, you know, this is just a question from a dum-dum. If it was so clear, if it was incredibly clear, it's not just that it was clear, according to Amanda Sloat, it was incredibly clear, then why are you out here having to clarify it? I'm so sick of the cleanup crew coming out and saying, I think everybody knows exactly what he meant. Well, then why am I seeing you again? Why are you putting out another statement trying to fix the latest mess? If he is so careful with his word choice, I got news for you, Amanda. A lot of the people in this administration will be out of a job, because it seems like the only thing you guys do is go in, do some strikes through his transcripts, and then talk to the press about what he really meant to say, which was perfectly clear to everyone. Now, another part of this that was my favorite was Joe Biden refuses to take questions from the press. He does not like to talk to reporters, even though KJP tells us that he takes questions all the time. That was even a hard one for the trained SEALs to swallow. But he did take a bunch of questions from some kids in Ireland. And we're going to save some of this sound because we're already running out of time here. But one of the kids, and this is really, you know, if SNL was funny, which the older people in the crowd assure me that at one point in history, the show was funny. I'm too young to remember that. But the amount of material that they could grab from just this one video alone. So Joe goes out, he's taking questions from the kids, and one kid asks for the key to success. My first tip would be, don't ask Joe Biden. Okay, that would be my first tip for that kid. But the kid asked, what's the key to success? And the response this child receives is a long-winded, bizarre story about the late senator from North Carolina, Jesse Helms, who died in 2008. Now, the best part, in my opinion, after this long story, and you can see on Hunter's face, Hunter is like, oh, geez, Louise, what are we doing here, Dad? Wrap this up. But the best part is, after this rambling, incoherent mess, the next kid who gets to ask a question, it's almost like he knows, all right, this old man cannot handle any sort of wiggle room. If I ask any question, like the first kid with the, what's the key to success? That kid probably thought, I'm throwing him a softball. You know, I'm the next Al Roker. I am the next Drew Barrymore. This is an easy question for this man who's been doing this for like 75 plus years. He'll knock this one out of the park. Wrong. You gave him too much space. You gave him too much breathing room. And he went off the rails. So the next kid learns from the previous kid's mistake and is like, I'm just going to keep this real easy for this man. There's no way with the question I'm about to ask that this old dude could get into the time machine. So he just looks at Joe and goes, how's your dog doing? And Joe's like, how's my dog doing? He's doing good. But kudos to that kid who knew if I ask him anything even remotely vague, he's going to keep us here for another 30 minutes talking about someone from 50 years ago. Now, I also just want to mention here before we wrap this up, and we're going to take a lot of these sound cuts. We're going to take your questions, your comments on this. But I need to point out that Hunter Biden had a look of fear in his eyes for most of this trip. Like a real, oh, geez, we are walking on eggshells here. Okay, and he's directing him at some points. Like, over here, Dad, stand over here. Let that one sink in. The man who has more explicit photos on the World Wide Web than, I would say, than some adult film stars is embarrassed by this performance from the big guy. The Parmesan cheese snorting.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
Crack pipe smoking bathtub taking artiste is cringing at you. That is a sign that things are getting out of control. That is a sign that maybe it's time for the 25th Amendment. And I don't know. I don't know what point we reach. That's my question for the audience. What needs to happen? What kind of story does he need to tell for people in our media and in our country to say, it's time for him to tap out? This was it. This was a bridge too far. I really don't know. I said yesterday, if he came out without his pants on, maybe that would do it. Someone texted in right away and goes, no, Grace, the press would take their pants off too to make him feel like this is, yep, you're right on the money. This is what we're doing now. So I really don't know what it's going to take. But this was something to see. Top of the morning to ya. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel. And you know what? Feeling good about yourself, you might put that on the back burner. You might think, I don't need to worry about myself. But when you feel good, you're a better version of yourself for everybody else in your life, whether you're a mom or a dad, a husband or a wife, or just a friend. If you have confidence in yourself, it's going to make every aspect of your life better. And you are not going to find a better team than the group at Perfect Smiles. Dr. Houghton is the nicest man ever. Everyone who works with him, they're passionate, they're capable, they're highly skilled, and they love what they do, and they're going to make you feel right at home. So if you take care of yourself because you deserve it, I want you to call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're located off of Route 3. They have plenty of parking, and you can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We have a lot of sound cuts to get to of Biden in Ireland. We also have, you know what I want to talk about today? At some point, are the Tennessee Three. Because now all three of the Tennessee Three are reinstated back into the legislature in Tennessee. But what's coming out now is we're getting more of a full picture of two of the members of the Tennessee Three. And Someone, I think it was Greg, was it Greg Kelly or Greg Sullivan? Somebody on Twitter put it really well. It's giving theater kid energy. And as a theater kid, I'll explain what I mean by that when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. The number is 844-500-4242. And you know what, Matt? I actually might need a little bit of the Grace's News sound that we play, the dun-dun-dun, because we've got some hot-off-the-presses information for you. Now, as we told you yesterday, actually, I think it broke the day before, there has been a major leak of classified U.S. intelligence documents. And Joe Biden was asked about it in Ireland. He doesn't seem all that concerned. That's the probably the bonus of not knowing what's going on and where you are and what you're doing, is that ignorance is bliss. It does seem like some of this information that's out there now about Ukraine and Russia and U.S. intelligence and allies that we've been spying on and sources that could actually be jeopardized. I'm not talking about Christopher Wray, you know, not wanting to tell us anything because of sources and methods. I'm talking real intelligence spies and people who could be in danger now. Kind of a lot there. But Joe wasn't very concerned about it. Well, now we have more information. According to the New York Times, the leader of the online group where secret documents leaked is Air National Guardsman. And he is from Massachusetts. The leader of a small online gaming chat group where a trove of classified U.S. intelligence documents leaked over the last few months is a 21-year-old member of the intelligence wing of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. The National Guardsman, whose name is Jack Texera, oversaw a private group online named Thug Shaker Central, where about 20 to 30 people, mostly young men and teenagers, came together over a shared love of guns, racist online memes, and video games. Two U.S. officials confirmed that investigators want to talk to Airman Texera about the leak of the government documents to the private online group. I would assume, yeah, I would assume, you know, you're leaking information about Russia's invasion into Ukraine and the state of the war there, which, by the way, according to what I've been reading, seems like kind of a stalemate. I would think you'd want to talk to this young man. I would think that'd be on the priorities list. Although with this administration, they've got so much on their plate, you know, they have so many Catholics going to church to look into, that I'm hoping they can fit this into their busy schedule. It says federal investigators have been searching for days for the person who leaked the top secret documents online, but have not identified Airman Texera or anyone else as a suspect. The FBI declined to comment. Now, let's play Joe Biden's reaction when asked about the document leak. This is cut 14.
Do you have an update on the leak investigation?
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm gonna go plant a tree. Do you have an update on the leaked documents? I'm gonna go plant a tree. Well, can't argue with that. But we are going to get into what was actually part of these documents and what it says about the war in Ukraine, that we've been told over and over again, you know, we're not allowed to ask questions about, we're not allowed to be concerned about the $80 billion we've spent there. Well, these leaks, they shine a little bit of a light on what's truly happening. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about NPR. We're going to play more sound for you. And we're going to take your calls when we come back.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Are you concerned about
the
leak?
Okay, guys, it's time to go. Let's go. Cool, we gotta move.
I'm not concerned about the leakages. I'm concerned that it happened. But there's nothing contemporaneous that I'm aware of that is of great consequence.
There's so much I love in that cut. That's the thing about a Joe Biden cut. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful painting. You have to look at it for a long time and listen to it and see all the different elements involved. I love that the woman in charge, whoever she is, whatever member of the cleanup crew she is saying, all right, guys, she's one of the shoo, get out of here, girls. She's going, all right, guys, we got to keep moving. Wait, he just said he's going to plant a tree. Is it really a matter of urgency? He seems like he's wandering around. He was able. I just want to remind this woman, because she doesn't want him to take any questions from the press because they don't have time, Matt. They're on a tight schedule. And yet, when he's asked a question about the key to success, he's able to spend about 45 minutes talking about a senator who died in 2008. So clearly, time is not of the essence. I think that's fair to say. But also, he throws in contemporaneously because that is supposed to, you know, calm all of our fears that maybe he has no idea what's going on. Anyone who uses the term contemporaneously is obviously as with it as can be. You know who was a big fan of that term? I do believe was James Comey. He was a big contemporaneously guy. I took contemporaneous notes. Good for you, Jack. And the other thing I think of is whenever they use these words, like remember Kirby was using obfuscate the other day? We're not trying to obfuscate. And I thought, just by using that word, I think that's exactly what you're trying to do. They like to throw in all these contemporaneously. He doesn't answer anything. Does not answer one single thing. All right, but just a refresher in case you are concerned about the leaks, contemporaneously or not, the leaker of the U.S. classified intelligence has been identified, according to the New York Times. The leader of a small online gaming chat group where a trove of classified U.S. intelligence docs leaked over the last few months is a 21-year-old member of the intelligence wing of the, you guessed it, Massachusetts Air National Guard. Because all roads lead to Putin, and if they don't lead to Putin, they lead to Massachusetts. So the National Guardsman, whose name is Jack Texera, oversaw a private online group named Thug Shaker Central. And he leaked out a lot of information. And you know what? I actually have a story here from John Daniel Davidson from The Federalist. And he talks about how we have a bloody stalemate in Ukraine and how these documents are exposing that. U.S. taxpayers have poured nearly $80 billion into this war over the past 14 months or so. At what point are we allowed to ask whether a stalemate in a grinding campaign of attrition, those are all quotes from the leaked documents, is a good deal for Americans? Americans should demand the bipartisan Washington consensus that supports indefinitely funding this war. Explain what our strategy is, what our interests are, and detail how they plan to achieve something beyond a war of attrition that risks pulling us into direct conflict with nuclear-armed Russia. The classified documents lend some urgency to these questions because they reveal, among other things, a severe shortage of air defense weapons in Ukraine. I'm skipping around here, but it says what the documents also suggest is that the war has not been an unbroken chain of brilliant underdog battlefield victories for Ukraine. That's the way the media has been framing this. It rather seems like chaotic and indecisive butchery on both sides. U.S. weapons stockpiles are now depleted, and our defense industrial base is taxed to the point that we have been unable to deliver some of the $20 billion in promised military supplies to Taiwan. What is the plan if Beijing decides to invade Taiwan? No one seems to have an answer or even seems willing to acknowledge there's a problem. Hey, Joe Biden's not even concerned about the documents themselves, let alone what they're showing us. American taxpayers have given Ukraine about $80 billion in counting. That includes nearly $50 billion in direct military assistance. What exactly are the American taxpayers, what have we been purchasing with all of this? The Ukrainian state is famously corrupt, which hasn't changed under President Zelensky, and indeed might be far worse now, given the sheer volume of U.S. dollars washing through the country. Why isn't there any transparency? And I would just add in here for John Daniel Davidson, because he seems pretty concerned. This might make him feel better. Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, and Brad Paisley, the country singer, are visiting Zelensky this week. So I'm sure that while they're there, they're crunching some numbers about this $80 billion that we've been sending to Ukraine. But I find it amazing that we have these leaked documents that show that what we've been told by our government has not been the truth. And the president isn't worried about it. You know why? Because he's going to go plant a tree. That's why. Paul, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Grace, I just have an idea. You asked, what's the gap that Biden would have to do before he'd have to leave office? And here's a thought. Think about it. The gap would have to be something that pisses off the CIA or the FBI.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's probably not going to do that, just because I think he would have to have some sort of intel or slip up on some secret. And I don't think he's being told anything. Like, he's not concerned about the leaked documents because he probably hasn't read them. He doesn't even know what's out there. I've probably seen more of them than he has, and I've just glossed over them. But then again, I do get up before 9 a.m., so I have, you know, I have that advantage of having a couple of more hours in my morning than Joe does. But you're right. I don't know what it would take. But I think that part of the reason why we're not seeing it, like I just said to everyone, I asked the listeners, for people who are just tuning in, I said, what needs to happen? What does this man need to say or need to do? Because the hair sniffing, the inappropriate calling out of, you know, people in the audience, the wandering, the talking about things that make no sense, none of that is having an impact. So what does he need to do to get this to the point where Democrats say, okay, game over, we're bringing in somebody else, we'll set up Gavin Newsom, Governor Hair Gel, or we'll have someone come in and take this off your hands, Joe? And I think the reason why we're never going to see that is because it doesn't actually matter. Because he's not making any decisions. He's not in charge. And in fact, when you think about it, when you think about probably who are the people in the White House who are in charge, this is the best case scenario. Like, they have just a puppet in the White House who they don't have to concern themselves with. They don't have to take orders from. They don't have to weigh in his opinions on anything. They can do whatever they want in the deep state. And he is just the perfect dummy to sit there while all of these other people make moves. So even if he did come out with no pants on, I don't think that would be enough, because he's actually, for a lot of people, he's actually the perfect president. He's the perfect progressive president, because you can push him around in any way you want and he won't do anything about it. And you just give him a little scoop of ice cream at the end of the day and you send him on his way. With that being said, we should probably delve into this story that he told yesterday to one of these poor children who had to ask him a question. But before we do, I'm going to ask you a question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had your insurance audited? Rizzo saved one of my coworkers over $1,700. To get your insurance audited, go to RizzoInsurance.com. Now, taxpayer-funded NPR is quitting Twitter. Can I actually get just a tiny bit here, please, just out of respect for NPR, just a tiny bit of violin, just a hair as I fill people in on this story. NPR quit Twitter because Twitter labeled it state-affiliated media. And NPR is here to tell you that they are not state-affiliated media. NPR cited Twitter's decision to first label the network state-affiliated media, the same term it uses for propaganda outlets in Russia, China, and other autocratic countries. Well, if the shoe fits, if it walks like a duck and it sounds like a duck, you know the rest. But this is from Red State. This is really funny. This is from the CEO of NPR, okay? John Lansing. He said, "The downside, whatever the downside, doesn't change that fact. I would never have our content go anywhere that would risk our credibility." NPR doesn't want to risk their credibility. NPR, who, by the way, I don't know if people remember this, but when the Hunter Biden laptop story came out, NPR sent out a message to their readers or listeners, or I don't know how people consume their NPR. I'm sure there's many different platforms you can get it. But they let them know that we're not covering this because this isn't an important story. And I'm paraphrasing that. I think what they actually said was more insulting and more ridiculous. But NPR has zero credibility. Big goose egg. Okay? Now, with that being said, they want a virtue signal. They want to show people we're not going to take it. No, we're not going to take it. So we're leaving the app. Now, the problem with that is that all these journalists, all these keyboard warriors, all these social justice reporters who are on the beat of finding out why coffee's racist or highways are racist or you're sexist or Elon Musk is worse than Orange Man, they love Twitter. They live for Twitter. It's their entire lives. So the natural next question is, yeah, NPR's quitting Twitter, but how long is this going to last? You know, I'm skeptical. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
When will NPR return to Twitter? In less than 1 month? In less than 6 months? In less than a year? Or NPR will not return to Twitter?
I'm going to say, now they made a pretty big stink about it. I'm going to say in less than 6 months. You know, one of my Twitter followers actually had a pretty good response. He said, they'll probably do it over 4th of July weekend. Like, they'll probably do it when they really think, because that's a great holiday to slip something in where no one's paying attention. People really do check out. So they'll do it at a time when everyone's, you know, away from their computers, and then they'll rejoin slowly. But I think they're coming back for sure.
Tied with 31% is in less than 1 month, and then NPR will not return. And second place is in less than 6 months with 28%.
Okay. Wow. A lot of people think they're not going to come back. Oh, you have too much faith in NPR. These people live and breathe for that little blue birdie. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Matt, you are next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Matt.
So call me nuts and say I'm wearing a tinfoil hat, but I believe what we're witnessing here is Joe Biden is compromised beyond anybody's imagination for corruption, fraud, so many different things that we know but don't get reported. And I honestly believe that he has been blackmailed, his family. They've all been brought in, his brothers, his son, everybody, his widowed daughter-in-law. And it's either you all are complacent with what we're going to do here and you act accordingly and do as you're told, or your whole family's going to do the perp walk and you're going to die in jail, all of you, including Joe Biden.
I don't know if it's that dramatic, Matt. We're all just speculating here, but I think it's safe to say that Joe Biden is compromised in one way or another. I mean, the man has had more dealings with these foreign entities when he was vice president, and afterwards, his son was sitting on the board of Burisma 3 days after he told Ukraine they should start fracking. It's not a hard thing to connect these dots. And as far as why everyone, you know, I was listening to Howie's show yesterday, and he had a caller who said that Hunter and Joe's daughter, Ashley, and everyone else, that they've been trying to rat out the big guy. Like, they've been putting everything out there. In a way, he was saying they're trying to tattletale on how bad of a guy Joe is, but the media just won't take it. And at first, I was thinking, that's crazy. You know, it's Occam's razor. Like, when you have the option between they're trying to plot against their dad, they're trying to take down Joe, versus they're just sloppy, selfish brats who don't know what they're doing, probably easier to say it's just that they're inept. But then I was like, when I was driving home, I was thinking, it is pretty crazy that he filmed everything, films himself having sex, films himself farting, films himself, you know, in the bathtub. He's just big on filming himself. And then he leaves the laptop, and then the guy calls him to say, hey, come pick this up. Still doesn't pick it up. And then there's a second laptop out there. I mean, it does almost make you wonder, this guy can't get arrested. He's trying his best to get this information out there, and nobody will bite. And then you think, I wonder if Hunter was sitting there when the New York Times got censored off of Twitter, and he was probably thinking to himself, sweet Moses, sweet fancy Moses, I can't catch a break. How much work do I have? How much more obvious do I have to make this until these outlets will actually run with it? And you had outlets like NPR that said, no, we're not going to, because this is Russian disinformation. I don't know. When it comes to the Bidens, though, I tend to think that given the choice, I would always choose stupidity. 844-500-4242. We've got more sound. I really appreciate the call to Matt, and we'll take more of your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I've got a little bit of a monster scoop here. And it's from a publication that I very much respect and that I also happen to write for. And that would be Spectator. SpectatorWorld.com. If you want to check out any of my articles, here's the headline. GOP senators preparing for McConnell retirement. The Senate minority leader had a serious fall last month. Now, multiple sources confirm that Senators John Barrasso of North Dakota, other senators, I'm not going to read them all, are preparing for an anticipated leadership vote, a vote that would occur upon announcement that McConnell would be retiring from his duties as a leader, presumably presumably from the Senate itself. That's big if true. Very big if true. Nick, you are next up on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, and I won't take too long. Thank you for taking my call. This thing about the mandate on getting rid of internal combustion engines, people need to look at their electric bills. Basically, the electric bill is two phases. One is how many kilowatt hours did you use? My kilowatt hours in the humble home I lived in went from 11 cents to 34 cents. What did that mean? My electric bill trebled, right? So I'm paying $300 and something a month as opposed to $80-$90 a month. And it hasn't stopped since they went up. Now, the backside of your bill, the page, is an interesting page. You got 7 delivery charges.
Yeah, sorry, Nick, we're running out of time, but I'm really glad you brought this up because you're offering us a nice little segue into our next guest, David Harsanyi, who's going to be talking all about electric vehicles. Do not move. You're going to want to hear this interview and read this piece. David Harsanyi from The Federalist when we come back.